Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. Welcome back, everyone. I am so happy to be talking to you today. And before we get started, I wanted to take a minute to thank each and every one of you. It's been about a month since the Peptique was officially launched. And it's just been so fun to watch it grow and to watch all of you support it. And I really can't thank you enough. On that note, if you listened to a few episodes ago, you will know that my TikTok got banned and completely erased. And I'm at risk of that happening with other things like Instagram and even this podcast. Not sure what happened with freedom of speech, but whatever. I'm not going to get on that soapbox. But I did want to tell each of you that if you want to know more about where to get some of the things that I talk about and protocols and that sort of thing, reach out to me through the show notes. Because I'm going to have to stop talking about it as much on this platform. Just to stay compliant on what people are wanting me to stay compliant with, whoever people are. I don't know why the powers that be seemed so concerned about little old me, but for some reason they find the need to let me know that I need to be very careful. So, moving forward, if I'm not talking about that as much, that is why. And I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you go to the Peptique website, at the very bottom of the homepage, you can put in your email address. So if for some reason something happens and I do lose this podcast or if I lost my Instagram or anything like that, will be the only way that I can get in touch with you. Or even if the Peptique website got banned. That's happened before to some of the research peptide companies that have gone before. And that would be the way that I can reach out to you and let you know what's going on and how to continue to purchase and how to continue to ask questions and all that stuff. I also will put my email in the show notes. I would really love to do a Q&A episode in the near future. So send me any of your burning questions, then I'm just going to get them in a spreadsheet. And when the time is right, I will do an episode on all the questions that I get. And in the meantime, I will go ahead and respond to your question. But I like getting questions because that is really showing me what people are wanting to know more of. And after about all that, let's dive in to today's topic. Today, I want to talk about a peptide called abrilintide, or I've heard it referred to as caglinitide. Who knows? People normally call it Cagri for short, so I have to think cagrilintide is probably the more correct way to say that. I don't know that for a fact, so if I am butchering it, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. And so for purposes of today's episode, I'm going to refer to it as Cagri because the other is a mouthful. Like, who comes up with these names, right? But I'm going to break down what Cagri is, why it is not a GLP because they often get confused, how it works in our bodies, the research behind it, and of course, the end we'll go over how to dose it, okay? So let's just get started. What is cagrilintide? It is a synthetic analog of a hormone called amylin. And amylin is co-secreted by the pancreas alongside insulin, and it plays a key role in regulating satiety, gastric emptying, and blood sugar control. So, while a lot of the current peptide buzz is around the GLPs, which I talk about a lot, like semaglutide, tirzepatide, and retatrutide, Cagri is in a completely different class. It mimics amylin, not GLP-1. That matters because it works on a completely different pathway, targeting the amylin receptors in the brain, especially in the hypothalamus, and it helps regulate hunger and fullness from a completely different angle. So let's talk about why it stands out, what makes it different. It slows gastric emptying, which is like the GLP, okay, that does make you feel fuller longer. It reduces the desire to eat large amounts of food. So it signals the body that you are fuller, faster. This is particularly true with these highly processed foods that have that high reward and high calorie profile, which we all fall victim to, which is a huge problem of why we need the GLPs to begin with. Unlike the GLP-1s, it doesn't come with as much nausea and the side effects. And if you're one of those people that really struggles with that, this is a good one, at least in what the research is showing right now, to have that same type of side effect profile. It also improves postprandial glucose regulation, so it helps smooth out blood sugar spikes after meals. So you get a very different but very complementary mechanism to the GLP-1s. And I know you're probably right now asking the question, why is this different? I am so glad you asked. Let's break this down. So with these two peptides, you have two separate hormones that help control appetite, one of them being amylin and the other one being the GLP-1. They're both like little messengers that talk to your brain, but they use very different doors and say different things. GLP-1 is made mostly in your gut when you eat, and it sends signals to a few key brain areas, not just the hunger center, but also your brain's reward system. So GLP-1 isn't just saying, hey, you're full. It's also saying that pizza isn't as tempting as I thought it would be. That's why people that are often on the GLP-1s often lose their interest in certain foods together. We also see how it helps with things like alcohol and drug addiction, because it works in that part of the brain, telling your brain when it comes to these addictive behaviors that you just don't want to do it as much. Amylin, on the other hand, is made in your pancreas right alongside insulin every single time that you eat. It talks mainly to a different part of your brain. It's a satiety switch in the brainstem. So its main job is to say, all right, that's enough for now. Put the fork down. It's more about ending this meal rather than killing cravings for the rest of the day. GLP-1 is your long-term appetite manager. It reduces hunger and cravings between meals. And amylin is your short-term portion control. It helps you stop eating sooner. And when you combine the two, you get a power combo. You're less interested in starting that snack, and you get full faster when you do eat. So the GLP-1 keeps you from opening the fridge, and the amylin closes it for you. So I know that's a really oversimplified way of explaining this, but it's the best way to help you understand the difference between the two, because a lot of the terms and the mechanisms of action that we're talking about seem to cross over, and it can get confusing, but they are very different. So let's talk about who it's good for. I personally think that it's good for people who are stalling on a GLP-1. I've seen this in my practice. They just can't seem to get past a plateau. And so this would be a good one to layer in to help with that, because it's also, in my opinion, not good just to keep increasing the GLP-1 dose until you get past. That's when you start seeing more side effects and people can start to feel lousy on it, okay? I also think it's good for people who just want to cycle off the GLP for a little while, but don't want to lose their gains, and but don't want to lose all the progress that they've made by getting off the GLP. So it's a good one to use for that as well. I also think it could be really good for the short-term use, like during the holidays or when you're going on vacation, call this a little bit of an easy button. I hate to say that, but it is a little bit of a cheat to use during a short period of time that can help you get through both of those scenarios without totally blowing it. I also think it's really good for people that are on retatrutide because you've heard me say this before. Retatrutide is the gold standard, in my opinion, when it comes to these GLP-1s. One of the complaints that I get some of the time with the retatrutide is that I'm still hungry, and that's because it has that third component in it that raises your metabolic rate to burn fat faster. So in some people, it makes them feel hungrier. But if you look at the science behind and all the research behind retatrutide, you will see that as far as the clinical trials go, it is far superior than semaglutide and tirzepatide as far as the long-term weight and fat loss. So for someone that has that sense of hunger still when they're on the retatrutide, this could be a really good thing to pair with that in order to get the appetite suppression that a lot of people need in order to reach their weight loss goals. Okay, who shouldn't take it? If you're a diabetic and you need to be on a GLP-1, you can't take this in place of that. So know that. I'm also going to give a disclaimer here. Before anyone starts anything, please talk to your personal healthcare practitioner. I don't know your medical history. I don't know anything about what's going on with you. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse practitioner. So this is something that you would need to discuss with your healthcare provider. But specifically, if you are a diabetic, this is not something you can just replace with the GLP. It can come alongside the GLP and work beautifully, but it can't act as a replacement. The other thing I would say is because we know the GLP has these systemic effects as far as the anti-inflammatory benefits it has, and the list just goes on and on. So if you are one of these people that is specifically taking the GLP for that, again, you wouldn't want to get off the GLP and replace it with this. That would not be a good fit for this. And lastly, I want to stress this last one. Too much appetite suppression is not a good thing. Often we need a calorie deficit to lose weight, but if that gets too extreme, that's when we start getting the muscle wasting and we start losing lean muscle mass and we wreck our metabolic rate and our metabolism tanks. And it's really hard to get that back once you've lost it. So if you're not eating 1 gram of protein per lean body mass that you want every day, and you're not eating an optimized nutrition plan, and you're not in the gym doing strength training, and you have a lot of micronutrient deficiencies, this is not for you. This can actually make those problems worse. Our hunger pains were God-given to us to tell if it's time to replenish and restore our bodies with nutrients. All the crap that you see at the grocery store or at the fast food restaurants with whole food nutrients. And going too extreme with that can really backfire and cause long-term damage. So I want to say that because this does have a huge impact on appetite. I will also say that there are people, I let this out on the people that should take it. There are people, and this goes into the category of they had a stall on the GLP or it's not working for them as effectively. I have seen this in my practice when I've had the opportunity to run genetic profiles on some of my clients. And there are certain genetic variants that cause people to not feel satiety like the average person. And those people really have a hard time with this and have a hard time losing weight. So for someone that has lectin issues, has these genetic issues, things like that, this could be a beautiful one to add to the GLP with really good results. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that's probably the best profile of a candidate for a type of peptide. What does the research say? Because those are my thoughts and opinions, but let's talk about what the research says. It's currently being researched in both standalone and in combination with semaglutide and tirzepatide. And so far, the research is showing that the results are exponentially enhanced when you pair these two together. And I'm going to go out on a limb here because the results, the way that I'm reading them, are very similar when the semaglutide and the Cagri are paired together as it is with retatrutide on its own. So if you are one of these people that needs that extra push, or maybe you're preparing for a trip and you want to just lose a few vanity pounds or something like that, I can imagine that the benefit of pairing Cagri with the retatrutide would only be exceptional. So keep that in mind. But the research is backing this, and we are going to start to see combinations of these things come out from Big Pharma in the near future. All right, let's talk about what everyone wants to know, and that is the dosing. Let me tell you this. This is based off research. You can find this information online. I'm not telling you how to start it. I'm not telling you to take it. I'm just going to tell you what the research says, and then you have to figure out what works best for you. So the range that the research suggests is starting out on a very low dose, like 0.25 milligrams to 1 milligram per week, and slowly moving up to around 2.4 milligrams or as needed. This can be taken once a week with a GLP, so you would take them at the same time or on its own. I also read some protocols that suggest if you take a low dose, let's just say the starting dose at 0.25 milligrams, and within a couple of days, your hunger comes back, you could dose again. So you can dose, microdose a couple of times in 1 week, like people often do with the GLP-1s. Or you can take it on its own. The research is saying that you can still experience really good results, but nothing like what you're going to see on the GLP-1s. It's just if you need that little added edge, or if for some reason you can't tolerate the GLP-1s, that this would be a good alternative. Okay, let me talk about my experience with this, because for all of you, I allow myself to be the guinea pig for all these things. And I will say this too, I'm currently not on a GLP-1, which I think is important to mention, because I wanted to see how it would impact me on its own. Because sometimes when you do these things and you're stacking them and you've never done them individually, you don't really know what's doing what. So I think that's important. So I did the lowest dose of the 0.25 milligrams. I did it in the morning. And I will tell you fairly quickly what I noticed. It wasn't so much that I didn't have a craving or I wasn't hungry, but when I did sit down to eat, I would take a couple of bites and just be like, I can't eat anymore. And I know that's very common on the GLPs, but this is different. It feels different. I think I was with the GLPs when I would get to that point. It felt more from a place of nausea. Food just sounds gross. This wasn't like that. This was like the food tastes great, sounds great, but I just can't eat anymore. I'm stuffed. That kind of feeling. So it's a very unique satiety experience than what you get with the GLPs. And so I would encourage you to try it so you understand it, because it's really hard to articulate. I just did it the one time because I'm not in a place right now where I'm trying to lose any weight. And I'm like everyone else. Are you curious about peptides but totally lost on where to start? You're not alone, and I've been there myself. And that's why I created my free peptide guide to help you cut through the confusion and understand what each peptide does and how their specific protocols work. And if you want to go deeper, I open up just a few spots each month for one-on-one peptide consultations where we create a completely personalized protocol just for you. You can grab the free guide and find all the details on how to book a consultation in the show notes of this episode. So whether you're brand new to peptides or ready to take your peptide game to the next level, this is your starting point. Now back to the episode. I'll go up a few pounds here or there and have to really work at it, so I'm not immune to that by any stretch. But I'm just not in that place right at this moment. But I definitely wanted to try this before I brought it to you. And I did not have any nausea. I didn't have any upset stomach. I didn't feel tired, which I hear a lot about on the GLPs. I've experienced that myself. And there really wasn't any of that. And that is the one thing that in doing research for this episode that I read over and over again is that it really did not have the same side effect profile that we often get with these GLP-1s. So it's a really interesting peptide. I love what it does. I love that it had similar effects as far as appetite control and blood sugar regulation as the GLP, but it hits it from a different mechanism of action. That's where you start really seeing the stacking. So it's not that one on its own is better than the other. They're very different, and it depends on what your goal is. But stacked together, man, they just really impact so many different metabolic areas that it really is just a beautiful stack. So keep that in mind. And I think that's it for today. Short and sweet. Let me see. What else do I want to say before I let everyone go? Go to the show notes. You'll find out all the information to contact me. I love it when you reach out to me. I love getting your questions. It's just exciting to me that I get to do something that I absolutely love at this later stage in my life. And I feel so, so blessed to be able to do that. And so go like this podcast, but leave a one-word comment, reach out to me. I will put all of this information in the show notes. There's always also a discount code if you ever want to go purchase anything in the show notes too. I'm not going to be able to mention that much longer, so just hear that. So as always, until next time, y'all, have a blessed day.